Good morning, church. I know you would have been expecting to hear Samuel's final message from his Gospel-Shaped Life series. But due to Samuel being needed to be present with his family as they await tests and answers for baby Jonah, and may we continue to pray for her and the family. You've got the last minute substitute in. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Dylan, and I'm currently one of the elder candidates along with Parker. Full disclosure this morning, this sermon has been prepared by Pastor Samuel, and I do not take any credit for the hard work that has gone into it. Though I wholeheartedly agree with the entirety of this message, may all credit be given to him for his dedication, for the study and preparation gone into this. May the delivery not reflect the man behind it. All right, let me open in prayer. Lord, though the preparation for this morning may have been rushed, may this not take away from your truth and word, and may it go out, may hearts be softened, and may those listening turn toward you. Set aside myself and my abilities, and have your Holy Spirit speak through me, so that you may be glorified, our Heavenly Father. Amen. See, know, and go to the Father through Jesus. We'll be looking at John chapter 14, verses 1 to 11, which Adam kindly read for us before we got started. How do you know someone? How can you say you have a relationship with someone? Usually, you need to be able to meet them, to know them personally. You know, there are people I know of, but I don't know them personally. I don't have a bond with them. I know of Leonardo da Vinci. I can know stuff about him. I can go and visit the Louvre and experience of the man by seeing his artwork. But I cannot see Leonardo himself. While I can experience something of him, I cannot go and meet him. It's beyond my human capabilities to be able to see, know, and go to Leonardo, the long dead artist. You know, we have a similar problem when it comes to God. As a mere man, I cannot see, know, or go to God, yet I do want to see him, know him, and go to him. Our Heavenly Father is the greatest of all beings. He is love, he is mercy, he is kindness, he is the very embodiment of goodness and justice. He is our peace and our blessing, and to worship him in his perfection of beauty is the greatest thing a human could ever hope of, or hope for. Though in case of God, I'm not merely constrained by the boundary of time as we are with Leonardo da Vinci. Rather, I'm constrained by my humanness. This makes it impossible to see, know, and go to our Father. There are things incompatible about yours and my nature that divide us from God, that fundamentally separate us from God. For instance, God is invisible and we're visible. God is unchangeable, we're easily manipulated. God is most holy, though we're impure. God is sinless, though we are sinners. If we're so fundamentally different from God, can we ever expect to know God personally? How can we see the invisible? How can we go to the Spirit? God is our Heavenly Father. He created us and sustains us. He protects us and guides us. He will judge us and reward us. He is over us and has concern for us. Yet how can we ever know a Father so different from us? Can the pot see the potter? Can the creature ever know the creator? Can the art ever go to the artist? Well, Jesus seemed to think so. He thought it was possible. He taught his disciples not only a way to see the Father, but to know him and even go to him. Imagine that we might be able to see, know, and go to God the Father to live with him. Jesus lays out the picture of this in our passage today, in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. It's a comforting and encouraging passage that shows us how to see, know, and go to the Father. We will look at it in three sections. The first section is a place prepared for us. This story of Jesus and his disciples is set in a tense scene. It's the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples. It's been a weird evening already, with Jesus washing their feet and then talking about leaving as if he were going on a journey without them. The disciples were confused, especially when Jesus started to make accusations about a traitor in their midst. Judas had run off on some unknown business, and then Jesus said some very hard words to Peter by predicting that he wouldn't stick around when times were tough. Can you imagine that? It's not the kind of dinner party that I would call a success. I think it would feel a bit like when you're at a family dinner and someone has said something really awkward so that people aren't quite sure how to react. Then they announce they are moving interstate. Then someone starts to cry, questions flow. There's something in the air. No one can quite relax. There's a tension in the room. You know that feeling. Jesus speaks to comfort his followers. He says in verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He speaks to assure them that everything is in hand and that he goes to prepare a place. He continues, "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus is saying that his upcoming departure is actually for their benefit. Jesus isn't off on a holiday or starting a new job. He's still on mission for their benefit. He is getting ready to bring his disciples to the Father. And Jesus is going to come back for pickup. He's not going to leave them hanging or stand them up. He'll be back, no need for alarm. He will take them to the Father, even though he has to leave for a little bit. So here we have a partial answer to our questions about how we might see, know, and go to the Father. Jesus will take us. He takes his people to the Father. He's setting up accommodation at God's place, so to speak, preparing a place in preparation for us moving in permanently. "I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus is preparing a place. We don't know how long it will be till everything is ready. It might be tomorrow. It might be in 1,000 years. But when the time comes, Jesus will return so that we might go to be with him in our Father's house. Our wonderful way. verses 4 to 6. Next, Jesus tells the disciples they already know the way. They already know how to get to the Father's heavenly house. We'll read from verse 4. "And you know the way to where I am going," Thomas said to him. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." These are striking words. Jesus shows his disciples the wonderful way to the Father. Jesus himself is the way, the only way. If we want to go to God the Father, we must go by Jesus. Brothers and sisters, in our world, we must guard ourselves against the idea that there are many ways to God. For God, there's no close enough when it comes to faith. We're on our way to a destination, God's place, and we can't get there by taking the wrong track. There is a saying that goes, "All roads lead to Rome." And that's how many folks think about religion. As long as I have some faith in something, I'll get there eventually. As if it's inevitable. As if it doesn't matter if it's Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, or some kind of choose-your-own-adventure religion. Well, I'm here to tell you it does matter. It's not inevitable if you'll make it there on your own. There's only one true and living God. There is only one road, and it's narrow, and that way leads to eternal life. We need to take the right way to make sure we reach the right destination. So Jesus is preparing a place, and Jesus is our wonderful way. He is a way for us to go to the Father. Like the disciples, if we know Jesus, we know the way. Our Father found. Verses 7 to 11 we can see. So Jesus has shown us how we might go to the Father, but he will soon show us how we can see and know the Father too. If we come back to the text, Jesus continues his response to Thomas to reveal how the Father is found. Let's look at verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Here we have it. To know the Father is to know Jesus. To see the Father is to see Jesus. God is revealed. He is made manifest in Jesus. There is some intrinsic connection between Jesus and God the Father, so that to see and know one is to see and know the other. But Philip didn't understand, so Jesus had to lay it out for him. We can see in verse 8. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." In graciously responding to Philip, Jesus gives us further insight into the connection between Jesus, the Son of God, or Jesus the Son, and God the Father. Jesus is operating under the Father's direction. Jesus is doing what the Father wants and saying what the Father says. They are linked. Jesus is the embodiment of God on earth. Jesus is God made human. Jesus is the invisible made visible. Jesus is the Spirit made flesh. Jesus is the uncontainable nature of God contained. So we have Jesus preparing a place. Jesus, our wonderful way. Jesus, our heavenly Father, is found. Jesus is how we, though human and utterly different from God, may have some way to understand and see God. He is where we restricted and weak beings may reach out and touch God. Here is Jesus, our Heavenly Father is found. Does this make you marvel? Let's look at this earthly example. The closest relationships we find here are normally between a husband and a wife in a godly and loving marriage. They live in love and unity. They know each other intimately. They can anticipate one another's moves or can read thoughts and emotions based on the slightest of signs. Even though this is such a strong relationship, there is no way that one can say if they saw and know the wife, they would see the husband and vice versa. Or if the wife were to say, if you know me, you know my husband. Though the love is strong and there is dependence on one another, they do not dwell in each other. The kind of connection between Jesus and the Father is otherworldly, somewhat intangible. It's outside our human experience and understanding. Yet somehow it's made understandable by Jesus' words. The Father who dwells in me does his works. God works in the world through Jesus. The Father brings about his will through Jesus. The Father is accessible through Jesus. That access to the Father through Jesus would be made possible by the events that would follow the Last Supper, when Jesus would be arrested, beaten, abused, mocked, slandered, and crucified. He would march into death and offer himself as a once-for-all atoning sacrifice. He offered up himself to the Father as a worthy payment for the sins of many. By his blood, there is a new and living way that he opened for us, which can be seen in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. Jesus actively did the work of the Father to open the way, a way that was blocked by your sin and mine, your guilt and my guilt, your brokenness and my brokenness. The only open way to God is through Jesus. We must come to him to be granted entry. What must we do to enter the way? What must we do to be able to see, know, and go to the Father? Jesus said it in the passage, "Believe in God, believe also in me." And then, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. That means we must put our trust and faith and confidence in Jesus as the one from the Father. Have you done that? Have you put your trust and faith and confidence in Jesus? Friends, what if you think this is too weird, too incredulous, too foolish? Well, Jesus said it plainly. Believe on account of the works themselves. I urge you, if you are skeptical, go back and investigate the historical record. read the biographical records of Jesus' life and ministry, see the many proofs that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, Saviour of the world. He calls you to come and follow him. This morning we've been swimming in the deep waters of the nature of God, Lord Almighty and Eternal. They swirl around us as Jesus reveals to us the mind-bending concepts of God incarnate, God revealed, and God known by mere men. Jesus has made it clear to us that he is the way to the Father and the embodiment of God the Father himself. Here is provided our wonderful way to a prepared place through our Father found in Jesus. How can we see, know, and go to the Father? It's through Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus is the way. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you that we could come together and lean into your word. We are so thankful that you have provided a wonderful way through your Son, Jesus Christ. We live in excitement to see the place prepared for us and to know the Father that can only be found when we come through Christ, his Son, as we read early in verse 6. Lord, help us reflect on this as we grow out from here this morning. Remind us to live in this light, that when we put our trust and faith in Jesus, we may see, know, and go to the Father. Amen. All right, thank you, guys. We are going to now partake in the Lord's Supper.